Hey Andy, are you ever gonna get an ad read right on the first try?
You know, I think I'm just trying too hard and I just gotta relax.
Andy, serious. Come on, dude, that's who you are. We're talking back pocket and we're talking visionary manufacturing with custom apparel for you.
Bingo. Let's just cut to the chase, big boy.
Invest in your dreams. Manifest that custom apparel, that custom idea that's been weighing on your mind for months, years, however long, and create with Visionary Manufacturing. Hit us up today to book a custom order at backpocket@visionarymfg.com. That's backpocket at visionarymfg.com. You'll find this funny though, speaking of oil changes. My car has just been, every time I start it, the just like massive white smoke clouds come out of the exhaust. Like, what's going on here? Like, this is, my car's dying.
Yeah. Well, that's nothing new to you.
No, but it raises the red flag. Like, Andrew got in the car the other day. I'm like, hey, man, like, I know we're going here, but I don't know if, don't take it for granted, you know?
Yeah.
It's one of those things. This could be our last ride together type thing.
In the car, not dying.
In the car. Okay.
Dude, don't put that on me, Ricky Bobby.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He just plays that song from the end of Fast and Furious when Paul Walker died the entire time.
Wiz Khalifa one?
Car. Yeah.
He made a lot of money off that song.
Without you, my friend. That's what we played in the car, like, on repeat. But anyways, it hit me at 4 a.m. on my way to work the next day. Not kidding. I was like, I looked up in, like, the top left where they put, like, you should have your oil changed by then.
Yeah.
I was 5,000 miles over.
Oh, that's terrible.
I hadn't got an oil change in over a year. And it was like 10,000 miles total that I drove on this oil.
Are you supposed to get every like 3,000?
Three.
Yeah.
And you could push to 5. And if you're my dad, you push to 6,500. Mm-hmm. Oh, boys. I was like, once I knew that, I was like so scared of driving because I like have no oil in my car.
Yeah.
No wonder it's making all these noises. There's no lubricant in my vehicle.
Gotta lube it up.
So lubed her up that afternoon, and I'm telling you, it takes 30 minutes and $60. If you don't have any of either of those things, chew doing, dude.
Yeah. Damn. Yeah. Okay. All right.
There you go.
You sold me on Vaseline.
Yep. And here we are. Ike Taylor Podcast. Champ Bailey Podcast. Marshawn Lynch Podcast. Any other 24s that we need to mention? Kobe Bryant.
No. Yeah.
Round two.
Yeah. Yes.
That's it for me. I don't know.
We could say Pedro Alvarez from the 2012 Pirates playing first base, but, you know.
We could say that.
That's neither here nor there.
That's not here
Eddie,
nor there.
Eddie, how about the rivalry between the Pirates and the Reds, the two most inconsequential teams in the NL Central?
Yeah. The basement dwellers fighting for the basement.
Dude.
It's just gross.
The stories I was reading just a whole, like, Twitter moment thing from that last night before going to bed. First of all, the Reds were hilarious because they just basically, at one point they tweeted, there's a lot going on right now. Because Yasiel Puig had just been traded in the middle of the game, still goes out for the fight. It was insane.
It was so ridiculous. I think the Pittsburgh-Cincinnati thing is just like football, they hate each other, baseball, they extend the rivalry, and pitching high and inside on each other. I don't know. I think it was just stupid because you guys, both you teams stink.
Mm-hmm.
So why are we trying to get on TV right now just by fighting?
That's good for baseball, though.
Yeah, it's decent.
I wish that would happen more.
Yeah. But we're here now. We're live on the back end show. It's been a fun week. How you guys doing?
I'm doing fine. I was gonna, like, it was fun. I went on a run the other day. I got to work my ankles a little bit. Like I kicked my feet up. You know, it's been really nice with my legs. Been really enjoying them. How about you, Ty?
Yeah, I've enjoyed. I felt loose, like lower body this week. I felt like I've been able to. I also went for a run earlier this week.
It
felt good.
How many miles do you run?
Usually I run around three.
Okay.
Three and a half.
Liberating, right?
It's good. And I really have gotten the sense of, like, man, being able to walk around without having the sense of pain or anything like that. Cause I've been I'm a tight hamstring guy.
Right.
But just being able to walk around without any lower body pain like that, it's just, I realized this week, like, man, that's nice.
Dude, I was thinking the same thing. Like, being able to just, like, run up your stairs at home. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Isn't that just the best when you need to, you forgot something? Oh, you can skip a couple stairs on your way up and not have any problems.
But I know. And even just being here, you know, I got to move around, got to get that light, got to set up the tripods. Like, it's just nice to be able to do that pain-free.
Yeah. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm hobbling.
Oh, man. Really?
I got a broken wing.
More like a broken tire. You got a flat tire.
Flat tire.
Yeah.
Oil change. Go to Tires Plus or yeah. Ankles Plus. Andy Ankles.
A line of urgent care.
CVS. Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of options there. So not that good.
I had the old thought I was invincible, got humbled moment.
Ooh.
Yeah. And those occur sometimes when you don't have to endure any pain, just some like mental, emotional pain.
Let's give the YouTube watchers some.
Yeah. I mean, it's starting to get better. So, and the best thing is I got these patches on it.
Oh God, you can really see the swelling from this angle.
Okay, sweet. These patches that are on it are from Way Laboratory. Our good friend, Investor Steve, came over last night and put some Eastern medicine
on his ankle.
on both sides of my ankle. And he told me it's going to like reduce swelling, help with pain. He gave me like a rundown of all the things he's going to do. And I'm like, oh, sweet. So like, what are the negative things? He goes, might be a rash. I go, okay.
We can work with that.
I'm not going to pee green, or I'm not going to get tired quick. Or
faint
anything.
If I try standing up.
Yeah. Have an erection lasting more than 4 hours. I mean, like I can work with that. I work from home.
It's not the end of the world.
Like, I just need to know. So he not a lot of negative side effects. So I got this thing and it's actually helping a lot, I think. Should I tell the story? Is that something you guys want to hear?
Andrew, how'd you break your ankle?
Sprained my ankle.
How'd you sprain your ankle?
It was after a glorious power hour of the 90s. We're heading out to go clubbing, wearing our denim jean jackets and white tees. And we jump in the Ubers and we get around the block. And I'm like, oh, crap, I forgot my wallet. And we're behind my house. And I'm like, oh, I'll just run out and jump over my backyard fence to grab my wallet a little quicker. 10-foot fence, I skied it like one of the most athletic things I've ever done. Just did a dip over the fence and swung my legs around without even putting my foot on the top of the fence and came out hot and landed right on my toes and from 10 feet down and just turned that ankle violently. And I knew it right away. Like I felt it like dislocate or something. It made some weird noise. And I literally just gimped into the house and I called the dudes in the Uber, and I was like, not making it out, busting my ankle. And the guys in the Uber are just like, all right, put some ice on it. See you later. And I just hung home, and I busted that ankle. I went in the morning the next day and went to the doctor, and they said 70% chance it's broken. I go, oh, damn, like I got some strong bones, hopefully not. And so we did x-rays. It comes back. We did the whole zoom in on all the parts, and he tells me where my tibia is and my fibia and all the different bones in my ankle, and none of them were broken.
You put your right foot out, shake it all about.
That's what it felt like. I'm sitting there.
Was it like one of those moments, though, where like he didn't tell you that, give you the news right away? He had to unpack, you know, the story behind, like, so your tibia.
If you're gonna see
that through some hell, it's bent.
It's more like, oh, here's where this is. They're supposed to, you're gonna see a nice little gap into here. So this looks good. And then like he gives you the story of how everything's placed and why it's placed that way.
Right. That's what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Awesome.
No, nothing was negative. So there was no bent, like been through hell moments, right? Because it was a healthy ankle.
It's a healthy ankle
from a bone structure standpoint.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so at the end, he's just like, and so I'm just gonna finish with this. You sprained it. And that was it, huh?
Yeah, he goes, you might have tore some ligaments, but do we want an MRI? I go, it's probably pretty expensive. I don't think my parents would be too happy about that yet, so let's not do that. Yeah. And he goes, from a week from now, if you still have the pain, it might be torn, but from now, let's just deal with the sprain, put in a boot, and get on with your day.
You say, get back to podcasting, Andrew. I think you said that.
I pitched the x-ray guy on the podcast. He was all for
how'd it go? Really?
Yeah.
Very nice.
He's a video game fanatic. He's like 45 and he's playing Fallout 76. He's like, the game's changed, but I still appreciate how they structure it.
It's their first open world game, Fallout 76.
Okay. So he was liking it.
Wow. Well, that's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Good work, brother. I was sitting in the Uber next to Matt Herron, who had gotten the call from you. And it went something along the lines of, like, we were all laughing, having a good time. He answers the phone and he's like, hey, Andrew, what's up? Oh, all right. Oh, okay. All right. And they just hung up. He's like, well, hang in there, man. Hope everything's okay. And it was just like so obvious you broke your ankle.
Yeah.
Or sprained it. Sorry.
I'm going to read through the text that I get from Deck like literally.
Yeah. So here's my follow up.
After it happens, Deck texts me right away. I go, are you good? ? I go, no, my ankle's fucked. He goes, roll it on the landing from hopping the fence. And I just give him a yep. And then he just goes, holy shit. And I just gave him a too drunk. And he goes, you're a warrior. And then in return mode, so every line is rest, ice, closure, elevation. Closure isn't right, but you get the idea. That's insane though. You'll be good. FOAG. I go, it's broken. What do I do? I'm scared. He goes, use frozen veggies to ice and elevate. And I just give him I am. And he goes, you're good then. Adrenaline is still kicking in. This is a chance to make moves. My response to that, what does that mean? And then he follows it up with, I thought you didn't have ice. You're in a good position now. And then I just respond to that, I seriously have no idea what you mean, but sure. Yeah, and then Deck is just, yeah, disregard that. Are you okay? And then I was just like, my ankle is broken from jumping a fence, so... if you say I'm okay, then sure. And that was how we had our conversation.
Wow.
Packed his bags and sent him on home.
Yeah.
It's all good.
That. Wow.
Trying to explain to the Uber who doesn't speak English that
our
friend who left to get something is not coming back. Please leave without him. Was like the hardest thing to do. It just ended up being all of us, all three in the back, just yelling, go. We're just like, go, dude. And he's like, okay, are you sure you don't want me to turn over here? We're like, no, go to the location that your phone is saying. Just go there. He's not coming back. He broke his ankle.
Priceless, dude.
Priceless. And he still didn't get it. So
yeah,
you probably get a free Uber for that, I bet.
You guys chipped in. And
I guess.
Because I requested the Uber, so you guys paid for it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's even more brutal.
Yeah.
But I've been working from home, which is nice. You know, I've been able to just ice and elevate and use my Eastern medicine to kick in. I got to recover quickly because we got ourselves vacation here on August 14th. So I got a good 2 weeks to get healthy for beach volleyball.
Mm-hmm.
Rehab starts now.
And slam ball, right?
Spike ball.
Spike ball and maybe a round of golf.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we had a round of golf earlier last week, the UST golf outing. And, you know, I was mortified for Andrew that morning on whatever day it was.
So Saturday morning happened. Monday morning
right. Was
when we played golf.
Yeah. I woke up feeling like shit, not because I was hungover, but because I knew Andrew couldn't play golf.
Right.
But that was my assumption. Wrong assumption. I'm getting better at not assuming things because Andrew played like Gary Player. And it was kind of the coolest thing ever.
I watched my YouTube videos. Yeah. I watched my film on Gary Player.
How does Gary Player swing? We probably should like flash that up.
We'll put that
or
here.
Or maybe explain it.
Yeah, he swings his back leg through the ball to get his hips through because he's old and he just wants to, you know, still get some power behind that ball. So he just drags that right foot through as he's hitting, and that's exactly what I did. So I was wearing a boot the whole time, but every single shot I did, I just dragged my right foot through and I played like better than I normally play.
Wow.
Because I was just like hyper focused, I think, and had no expectations.
Which
was pretty fun.
It. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And then it looked like that afterwards. So.
Yeah, you strapped the boot in there and then bruised the upper part of your foot.
Maybe not. Yeah.
The lower part would not have been bruised if it wasn't for the golf.
Maybe not what the doctor ordered.
He said, he goes, you know, you can pretty much do anything you want unless you have pain. I go, sounds good.
Thanks for the metaphor of life. Yeah. Man.
Yeah. Is that awesome. Like every single day?
Yeah.
No, it was, I liked my doctor. He was a good dude.
Good dude.
I only understood that I've been in this position like
a million.
Million times. He was trying to explain to me everything. Like I had just sprained my ankle for the first time. I was like, dude, I've sprained these ankles so bad. I got chicken legs for ankles. These things get just flipped around in basketball and every sport and you name it just for the longest of times. So
I've turned my ankle like, making a sharp right in the office, honest to God.
Yeah.
I've done it so many times. People are like, oh my God, are you okay? I'm like, at this point, yeah. I mean, it's just, it always comes back.
Ice and elevate. Ice and elevate, they tell me.
Yeah. And then I threw closure in there. I definitely meant compression, like circling back on that.
Yes.
So I don't know if you knew that.
I did not actually.
Yeah. rest, ice, compression, elevation. So let's get some bands on that. Maybe a couple. Throw a dumbbell on there or something. I don't know. Gravity's not enough.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. We'll figure it out.
Hey, Ty, we always give you advice. Any advice for Andrew? I feel like you might have some. You look like a kid who's probably in med school right now.
Well, I'm not. I did, however, take a semester on the medical school track. So I would like to think, you know, through general chemistry and other such courses, I know a little bit. You know, I would say this really is probably like an inflection point in your life. I feel like Andrew that jumped over the fence is not the Andrew that landed on the other side of the fence. That Andrew was, you know, metaphorically speaking, older, more brittle, and also wiser to know that, you know, he's not old, young Andrew anymore. He's the Andrew that has to be more responsible, the Andrew that has to, you know, look out for himself a little bit more health-wise, maybe cut down on the drinks a little bit. But that Andrew that landed is just one that has a better perspective on life now.
Retired athlete Andrew thought he was more athletic than he was.
Yeah.
He thought he was invincible. And he was humbled quickly. And I'm sitting here today knowing that I'm not going to jump that fence again. Not to see if I'm better. I think I can stick that landing. And I might try it.
You might.
But in the next 6 months, till next summer, I'd say, I'm going to give myself a full year of mental rehabilitation and physical, obviously, but yeah, more so mentally. Because I scaled that thing fast, and I was proud of myself.
You were there.
I was there.
You just had to finish, dude. God, and that was your biggest
issue.
Came
down on my toes. I've never landed on my toes. I'm great at box jumps.
Did you, like hit it, like, the first time? You just, like, I'm just going to jump over it. Or did you kind of go size it up?
No, I knew my fence. I know my backyard fence. Yeah. I never jumped over it, but I've seen it so many times going about out there to grill. I'm like, I know it's going to be high, and I know what I'm getting myself into. So I attacked it. Like, from the back of this funeral parking lot is a good 50 yards, dead sprint, and just arms pumping, head down, and look like an Olympic athlete just getting over it, and then look like your couch potato dude coming down.
Well, landing. I'm sure from, like, their side, if I don't know if you had a vantage point of him jumping over, it probably looked like a very athletic feat from that side. Like, oh, shit, like, he made it. Because my concern would be you don't even get over the fence,
yeah,
right?
Just splat.
And you said that you made it over clean, but you said that also you need some boards in, so...
I did need the board.
So that's not, like, a clean...
Okay, yeah, I can't, because I didn't pause and, like, do a vertical jump. I came at it with too much velocity. I thought I was going to take the fence down, like, just like Sandlot at one point. There's you know, like the giant dog and just tumble in the fence.
There's a minute where Andy just thought, maybe head down and run through it.
That would have been more viable because those boards are so flimsy.
Oh, that would have been so cool.
Just barrel through.
Yeah.
Ty, your metaphorical bullshit that you just put out there was amazing.
Thank you.
I just imagined this, like, kind of animated or real life Andrew running, and it's like the Andrew in, like, football pads, like 186 pounds making the leap, and then as he crosses over the fence, it's like old decrepit Andy.
Yeah,
he, like,
receding hairline,
he's got his glasses, he's got his blue light lenses on, his shirt's off, you know, maybe some, like, short sweatpants or something like that, and your Pumas.
Looking like an Italian Diego.
Yeah. Look, yeah, with that hat you're wearing on the way down, and it's just, like, so obvious that you fell.
Yeah.
Logistically, we have a door in our backyard. I just remembered.
It doesn't open. We've tried that many times. It's got all the compost behind it.
Oh.
And so, it's locked.
Yeah, I was going to ask, who has the key to that?
We never could find it. Remember we were thinking about parking in that parking lot back when we started?
Oh,
we could never figure out how to unlock that door. But, yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I'm
just thinking of improvements
battle.
For next year, I guess.
Run around the block and go through the front door.
Or just find a way to have a usable back door.
Why were you leaving from the back of your house?
The Uber was, it drove around the block because it was facing the wrong direction to get on the highway. Mm-hmm. So it drove around the block and it was sitting over here on, don't know what street that is.
DuPont.
DuPont, exactly. And I just was like, oh, my house is right there, but it's going to take me longer to run three houses around the three houses that it's
yeah like I said, this Andy has a freshened perspective on his abilities and what he should be doing. I think a more wise Andy now knows, run around the houses,
take the long route.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then I tell at the football outing, I tell my coach Caruso there, I tell him what happened, and he goes, shortcuts, Andrew, they'll always get you.
Damn, that's
like,
good.
I was like, you're right.
That's word up. That's true.
That's right. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah, that is true.
Coach Caruso. That is so him to respond that way.
Mm-hmm. I thought it was perfect.
Shortcuts. Andy Shortcut, dude.
Don't take him.
Yeah, don't take him.
Trust the process.
That's all awesome. Right,
guys. Let's trap the puck on my flat tire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I was a highlight of your guys' week, and that's all you guys want to talk about. What about what else you got, knuckleheads?
I just want to – I'm done. All right, if you're good, you got your bits, I'm out.
Yeah,
I'm good, dude.
I got my content.
Dude, who? Ty.
Hey.
I want to start with you this week on your average quality.
Oh, I'm honored. Yeah, I mean, I this isn't my average quality, but I will say – early back end shows when I was just starting out, I would make sure to like think about it like before getting here. You know,
you're learning
throughout my day of work. I'm like, man, I've put some thought into this. I want to have a good showing. But now I've just coming up with them on the spot. So I just want to let you know that I've regressed to the mean when it comes to thinking about stuff beforehand. But I do have, I think, a pretty good one that came up today. So my average quality is explaining the back pocket to other people.
Yes.
So,
ooh, yes.
So, right.
I struggle explaining the back pocket to people. So I want to hear how you're doing.
Right. So I'm not shy about it on my socials. Like when I'm over here and like the other week, I put some on my Instagram story about just kind of being in the cockpit over there, like two cameras around me and the microphone.
Every camera around
me. Right. And I always make sure to tag it and stuff. And I have friends from home and like family. They're like, what are you doing? Like, what is this? You know? And I explain it to them. In like a passing conversation, I'll just say, oh, it's a podcast these two guys have, and you know, it's fine. And I don't go much more into that. But today my manager at work took me out to lunch, which he does from time to time. And we're just talking about things, and things always come up. And I mentioned you guys, and he's of the older generation. So it's a bit tougher to explain, you know, like podcasts to him are much more like it was on radio. Now it's just a podcast, not two dudes in some sick floral chairs in their top of their uptown house. Yeah, so
like Wayne's World.
Right. So I tried to explain it to him, and I think I might've gotten a little overzealous just from the standpoint of like, I wanted to explain to them the whole like monetization plan.
Oh no, you didn't know, Ty. Yeah. You can't take him down the funnel.
This is awesome.
And so like, okay. And I just wanted to like, and he had no knowledge of like what Facebook ads were, so I was just really trying to break it down.
Barriered entry is
right. Yeah, trying to high barriered entry. So I started by how I usually start, which is, you know, it's a podcast. These two recent St. Thomas grads have in Uptown, and I help produce their show, you know, a day or two a week when I have time. And so then he was like, he was interested. He's like, so like, what do they talk about? And I'm like, oh shit. I'm like, well, they span a whole bunch of like, you know, they talk to a whole bunch of people, and he's like, well, like, what would be a reason I would listen? And I'm like, well, now I'm really like pitching this, and I'm like, I'm balls deep, so I'm gonna go. And I'm like, well, I broke it down. So, and I had a very similar conversation with my dad about this too. And I'm like, well, on Mondays they have like the it guests. So I always say, you guys like Kyle Rudolph, Chad Greenaway, and that's just an easy one to be like, they had Chad Greenaway on. And so I was like, oh, it keeps recording. It's so interesting. My camera recorded past 25 minutes. I didn't know I did that.
And knew you were talking.
And knew, knew not to cut. Anyway, so I always say, or recently I've been saying Chad Greenaway, just because that's an easy one. So I'm like, they have like the it guests. They, you know, those are the good ones. So if you're going to listen on Monday, the value proposition would be great guest. You'd have to buy into the fact that these guys are good conversationalists, which I believe that they are. But the real value prop is that there's just interesting guests sort of talking about their story in a way that's more unconventional than what you traditionally hear. Then I say on Tuesday, they do this thing called the marketing intern spotlight. And I don't get into the whole marketing intern thing. I say it's basically just not a lower tier, but somebody that maybe doesn't have as high of name recognition and is maybe one of their friends or something like that. And that is even more of a casual conversation, and you'd listen to that because, again, you think that these guys are good conversationalists and that there maybe is an interesting part of somebody's story that you might resonate with. And then I explain the back end show, which I'm like, you know what, that's just a clusterfuck. That's just the three of us getting together and talking, and we kind of shoot the shit. And really, you'd only listen to that if you thought we were interesting or funny, and maybe you do, maybe you don't. So I'm explaining this to like a 40-something year old dude, and he's like, okay, like, you know, maybe I'll check it out. And then I get into the whole like monetization thing. Like, you know, these guys want to, you know, find a way to have guests pay to get on and do a Facebook ad funnel and have all this sort of stuff. And I went into it a little bit, and I just look over, and he's just kind of like glassy eyed. I'm like, and I just try to simplify it and be like, a large part of the mechanism is going to be with Facebook ads and sponsorships and stuff like that. And he kind of understood that. We pivoted away from that back pocket part of the conversation, but it was just like, I'm like, wow, that was the most in depth I think I've tried to explain it to somebody, and especially somebody who
has no knowledge of podcasts.
Right, because, like, my roommates were a similar way for a while. Like, they were like, oh, what is this? But when I explain it to them, I can just kind of fire through with much more common or plain language just because they understand a lot of the language that goes into explaining what you guys do. Somebody that's of the older generation does not necessarily do that. So, you know, my boss may very well be listening. Scott, hi. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow when I come to work. I hope you listen to a bunch and get a feel for what they're about.
Yeah, and understand that we're just here to have a good time.
Yeah.
The response from just, like, the topic of the structure of, like, having these established guests to the people kind of, like, on the up and up.
Yeah, yeah.
The come up and then just, like, shooting the shit. Did he vibe with it or was he just kind of like, oh, okay, that sounds interesting type of thing?
Honestly, I probably didn't do a very good job at explaining, like, exactly because it's more than that, obviously. And I try to give it, like, the most pragmatic point of view that I could because, obviously, it's more than just, like the reason you're not listening is not entirely because it's Chad Greenaway. Like, these are genuinely interesting conversations with people that you get to see a different side of them. You get to see a whole bunch of different stuff. You guys ask good questions. It's a unique vibe. It's the whole, like, dominate the sandbox. I tried to explain that a little bit, too.
Nice.
Like, there you go.
And to him, it was like, so they're just, like, limiting the audience that they want to reach. And I'm like, well, no, it's just, like, a model for reaching new people, whatever. So it was, you know.
Yeah, that's right. When you just move on.
Yeah, right. But it was, you know, it's like there's obviously more to it than, but like, the base level is, like, that's the easiest way to explain it. It's like, you know, there's the top people, if you want to call it that, and then the up-and-comers, and then a couple of knuckleheads on Thursdays. But it's, you know, to your point about it kind of breaking down like that, it does, but there's more to it than just that structure.
Mm-hmm. I always want to over explain the shit out of what we're doing here.
And I'm sure.
I am not good at just condensing it because when I do condense it, I'm like, that's not enough. I'm going to expand on something after they respond and just take it. And then I end up, like, talking about a back pocket for 10 minutes and then I lose, like, their interest because they really just wanted to get the idea of what I'm doing. Yeah. And they would have been happy walking away with the idea, but I wanted to give them the whole pie.
Yeah.
Right.
I was, like, actively practicing it at this Pepsi outing that I just went to. My buddy invited me on this, like, all-inclusive Pepsi outing because they did super well in sales this year, and my buddy just started working with them 2 months ago and got a plus one. Like, everyone gets a plus one to this trip, and so he just invited me off the fly.
Hey, sick brag, dude.
Yeah, it was sick. Yeah, cool. It was super sick.
Cool deck.
And not to get into any of that part, but, like, people were, and it was awesome.
I think that's another great point of over-explaining. Not like it was a bad thing, but the tendency we have to over-explain things. Because we want people,
anything.
So we want people to understand what we're talking about.
So, yeah.
So we want to give them all the context.
Always.
Everything. No matter what it is. That's what we do. And we find ourselves in rabbit holes of, like, oh, I probably just talk too much, and now they're sitting there, like, what was the term you just used?
Glossy-eyed.
Glossy-eyed, yeah.
Same thing. Yeah, I do it all the time, just so long-winded.
God. But I got, like, I was able to formulate, like, a 30-second, just, like, this is what it is. If you want to ask more questions, let me know.
You have to. I miss the elevator pitch. It's, like, everything. You know?
Yeah.
Like, when you go, like, I've been going to job fairs or had this past semester or two, and it was the same thing. It's, like, how am I supposed to accurately represent, especially, like, someone like me who I think has a pretty diverse skill set, you know, like, something like the back pocket. Like, in an elevator pitch, I'm never going to be able to give that full context, and I always get down those rabbit holes too. Like, if I were ever to bring up in an elevator pitch about me what the back pocket was, well, then I just open up a whole nother can of worms about, well, what is the back pocket itself?
Yeah, then you, like, ask yourself more questions.
Like, why am I even doing the back pocket?
So why am I even working for these guys? I don't even know what it is. No, that's, I mean, run into that situation all the time. But one thing that I, like, didn't realize was, like, the name of the podcast. Like, it's so, like, a unique thing.
Mm-hmm.
But we overlook it all the time because we already know what it is.
Yeah.
So I always say, like, we have conversations with all kinds of people who are having success around our area doing what they love. They come on and tell their story. Listeners hear their story, pick out different pieces that they like for their back pocket. And we call our podcast The Back Pocket. Or, like, they take these pieces and put them in their back pocket to use in their own lives. And that's why we call it The Back Pocket Podcast. Cut scene, end. What's your next question? If you even have one. If you're already across the street getting another beer, fine, you at least know what it is.
Do you ever find in saying that you probably do, but in saying that you don't give yourself enough credit for what it actually is, not only from the work that you put into it. Because just saying that, I'd be like, okay, cool, these dickheads just have a pod, like everybody has a podcast. That's kind of the trope now, where it's like everybody has a podcast. Do you ever find yourself trying to rationalize it to them and like, no, there's like, it's actually more than
that's the whole crux of why I want to overexplain myself,
right?
Because there is no easy way to describe a podcast that you're doing in your attic
without sounding like
you're just it could be seemed like a douchebag for sure, but also just kind of just like, oh, you got, they're just having fun up there, right? They're just doing things. And yeah, we are fucking having fun, but I want them to know like all the time and effort that I'm trying to figure out how to make this my full-time job.
Yeah.
And I don't know how to explain that. I suck at it.
I think just like I don't know, actions speak louder than words. If I could formulate something that's just so like interesting or unique enough to them to just get to our page, I just want them to like,
I don't think what you said is interesting enough, though, to be honest.
Oh, for sure not. But, like, there's, I don't know, there's another, like...
So there's no answer to it.
Not right now. I don't know. It has to be 30 seconds.
Subscribe on, or just go follow us on Instagram and give us a chance there. Maybe you'll like us.
I don't know. What is unique about us, I guess?
Gotta get them the top of the funnel.
Do we say, like... I think what your dad said the other day was, like, awesome, was, like, it's about, like, what you guys do is you just embrace what's, like, average about you, and you just attack everything that's just so, like, or average that you're not good at, and you, like, focus on that. Like, not enough people, everyone wants to talk about their successes, and then, like, maybe even more or less pretend to talk about their failures or talk about them. But, like, no one ever focuses on the middle thing. Like, is that what makes us the most unique? So if I just said, yeah, I'm a wildly average dude and I unpack the things I'm not that good at yet, but I want to be really good at through the telling these stories, people then relate to it, understand it, grab those little things, put it in their back pocket to apply in their own lives. And that's why we call it the Back Pocket Podcast. Is that our fucking pitch or what is it?
It'd be nice.
Is that interesting? I don't know.
People cared.
Yeah.
People don't care enough to when they ask those type of questions in social settings to give those type of answers. Their response to that is they're going to feel how much you care about it. And that's awesome.
That's fine.
Like that's at the end of the day, what I'm trying to get at. So yeah.
I will say like one thing I was finding myself to my manager trying to explain the more business side of it, like the stuff that's on the whiteboard, just because I felt like that was the hard and tangible stuff that backed up what you're doing. Cause I think what you guys say is great. And the way you describe it, you certainly sound like you have a coherent and concise way of explaining what it is. Yeah. But then I feel like to a lot of people, that's just kind of fluff, and that doesn't actually do justice
it's
to
vague.
Like, right, nice. And like when you talk about, you do like one of my favorite things is when you explain to somebody it takes you 8 hours to produce a podcast, or you walk somebody through what you have on the whiteboard with your plan, like, or they come in and see the setup or anything like that, and they see, like, when you say actions speak louder than words, they see, oh shit, like these guys actually do work behind the podcast. Because what everybody sees is like a couple dudes hopping on a couple microphones and they're like, oh, they're just like shitting around. And it's like, yeah, sure, but then also you guys put in 8 hours for this episode, and you put in far more than that, just like pontificating about what it could be and all this sort of stuff, where I feel like that's the part that I find myself trying to explain. And back to why it's my average quality, is like that's sort of the meat behind it, the sizzle, and that's what I'm trying to rely on the best I can. But even that is so hard to translate to somebody.
Yeah, I love hearing how you explain it too, because that just helps me figure out what you think are like the cool things to talk about, what are the things that are going to relate to a guy who's never heard it. And so if you ever feel like you do talk to someone, if you bring it up anytime and they like clicks,
yeah,
you gotta let us know, because we always could use some better art, as you could tell we're long-winded as shit. So if you could help us narrow our thoughts down and get to the point, and hopefully someone's like, oh, but people do when we do explain it, there are some awesome reactions all the time. So it's not like we just get duds when we say the things that we say, but I hate being being vague.
Yeah.
I hate it too. That was pretty much my average quality, was being vague. And like Matt Herron challenged us on it last night, or whatever he did. And it was like, literally last night though, I was sitting up here rewriting our like podcast description, cause I hadn't looked at it and since the time I wrote it in January, end of January, start of February. I was like, this is bullshit. Like we're spending all this money, like drive people to this page to literally see this thing. And like, we didn't even look at what it was saying. I didn't. And I was just like, this is so vague. It's gross. It's not what we are. It's like, no one's going to get anything from this, and no one's going to really, I was thinking very negatively about it, but like, what do you say? And so I like looked around at all the other different podcasts, like Joe Rogan's is literally Joe Rogan's podcast. Comedic Joe Rogan is his podcast. And like I looked at a bunch of others and there's all these really funny ones. Pardon My Take is a good one. But just like, it's hard. It's a challenge, man. And I hate being vague. I want people to like really understand what the hell we're all about.
Yeah.
It is cool though. Alexis Walsko definitely was like one of the first people where, and maybe the first one that brought that I saw, but, or made me recognize, is when you say, yeah, we've been doing this for 2.5 years. Yeah, we've done 100 weeks of podcasting, 2.5 years. Yeah, we've done over 180, probably 200 podcasts now. They're like, yo, for real? Yeah, we do three a week. Remember Steve just now, yo, you guys do 3 a week, you know. Yeah.
Everyone says that.
Shit like that. I mean.
Sure, yeah, we do.
And but in our eyes, it's like anybody can do 3 a week.
And I was going to say, like, I think to the people that it should matter to, like you're talking about Alexis Walsko, like, it's going to matter to. Like, that's going to land for her. Somebody at a bar, they're not going to, you could be as specific as you wanted to. It's not going to matter to them. Like, it's just not going to land. But to the people that it's supposed to, and the people that you're like, man, this should hit home for them, they're the people that are going to understand the time and the value of what you're putting in.
Dude, you're absolutely right. And thank you for bringing up this topic. Remember when you first came on and the back end show and you're talking about how you want us to talk more about the shit that we go through, that we fail at and that we're trying to get better at, that we talked about all the time in the back end shows during the actual podcast
for
season 2. I think this is a great time for us. And I hope the people that are listening, like some, like the people that have been through us and seen a lot of season 3, realize that like we're still attacking this with like a bunch of like heads cut off, just but with a lot of care and love and passion to figure it out. Like there's no answer. And we say this all the time. There's no blueprint from turning a podcast in from something nothing to something without having a following of a company behind you or an already established career. Like that is an easy way to skyrocket a podcast. We are going at it together in ways of nascency. And that is an overused term, but in a beautiful way to say it.
Yeah.
And I love how you bring that up. So thanks, Ty.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you have an average quality?
My ankle jumping over a fence.
Yeah. My average quality was like knowing how to sell stuff. Like I'm not a salesman by a natural, like by my occupation.
Yeah, we just talked about the last 40 minutes of being not good at selling things.
Yeah, like these hats. Yeah. Like I mean I want people to buy them. They're nice hats. They're really cool. We wear them on the podcast. I want people to buy them. But
is
you know,
an ad? Is that an ad?
Is that an ad? Like well, yeah,
if somebody wanted to buy
that could be an ad.
What could they do?
Definitely just click on this or whatever thing says learn more or whatever. Just click on that. You'll find it. And we're just DM us. We'll give you one. It's not a big deal. But there it is.
That's the sales pitch, right? At the end of the day, we just want to get. No, that's the average quality of the sales pitch. You just want to give it to them. That's what I want to do. I don't want to make anyone pay for it.
I just want to give it to them. Like, I just think this.
But I want to make some money for some ad spend. So I want
to,
like.
So we can give it to more people.
God.
Right? How weird is that?
Yeah. It's whatever.
Whatever. We'll figure it out. But yeah, that was my average quality. All right. Wow. Sweet. What did you learn, Andy? Back to you. Snake draft.
So I'm going to go. I think I talked about this last week or maybe it was 2 weeks ago. The Brad Parcel helping with Donald Trump.
That was
Trump.
Last week, yeah.
That was last week. Okay.
I've been watching that.
You did watch? You tuned in a little bit?
I'm halfway through it.
Okay.
Thoughts? Ty, thoughts?
Killer. Like, killer, yeah. That dude is like a cold-blooded killer. Like killer. He seems to have a little bit of a political leaning, but this dude, this like interviewer is kind of asking questions and it kind of seems like he's coming from a cynical political angle and also just like a angle of him not knowing a lot about ad spend, but he just keeps asking this dude's like I don't know, it's just what I did. And it's so hard for me to watch this and think like you could be a Trump hater or a Trump lover and just think like all this dude's trying to do is just murder on Facebook ads, and it sounded like he just dominated with Facebook ads.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
And that part I was taking away, like taking notes, how can I murder on Facebook ads? And then so going off that, there's a documentary that was released last week, 2 weeks ago now, called The Great Hack. And it's about Cambridge Analytica and their involvement with Brexit, Donald Trump's campaign, and a bunch of other political campaigns all over the world. And, you know, just things that I just didn't do enough research on to actually figure out what Cambridge Analytica was and all the people involved. And it's just like furthering me down this rabbit hole of the power that everyone has as marketers. Like, this is not some thing that's tucked away for only the elitists to dominate these awesome things that are out there. No, anyone can do this. If you have $10,000, if you have $100, if you have $1 million, you can figure out a way how to dominate as a marketer. You don't need to be a mass, you don't need to sell mail to mass thousands of people. You don't need to buy TV spots. You don't need to be on the radio, billboards. All those things are bonuses and can just further your product of brand awareness and all that stuff. But you could, the people that are active on social media, you can own them with your campaigns. And it is like, it's crazy how,
yeah,
how much power, how much control we actually have.
The way that guy explained it was this type of marketing has been around for a while. Targeted marketing has been around for a while. But the fact that Facebook can show you an ad that's different in the morning than the one that you get in the afternoon is why it's so powerful. Like, the speed of what you can do. Like, you're receiving different commercials from your neighbors, or you're seeing a different billboard on one highway than another. That's targeted advertising. But the fact that you can see a different ad in the morning than you do in the afternoon, and that they can respond to how you respond so quickly, is what makes it so powerful. And I thought that was such a cool way to explain it.
You have the versatility. And then when someone like interacts with your ads, I mean, game over. You have them in your system for 180 days on a pixel, 365 days in the software. It's my thought. If you don't want to get bombarded with that same ad, do not like it. Do not watch the video for more than 3 seconds, because you're going to get retargeted. You're going to be inside some type of funnel if they have any type of sensibility to how they're going to retarget. Don't click on their website. Yeah. If you enter the homepage and you click on the about page, they're probably going to retarget you with a video describing more about themselves. And if you watch 3 seconds of it, then they're going to try to sell you off it, something off it. It's just so systematic. And it's so fun for me, because I can just like, oh, I had no idea that I could use that audience in that way and find that I have now a pool of 100 people right there that I can retarget and show them a cool ad that I think they're going to buy into back pocket further. Like, from our perspective,
it's beautiful.
I love that I can show them some cool things. And that's the best part. That's why I get all like excited about it. But then at the same time, the great hack shows all the negatives that come of it and the way you can push negativity. And I get scared. Because it's like, you can control a lot of how society thinks. And that's one of the ways that Cambridge Analytica did it, was pushing these type of
surveys.
Right. Yeah, they did surveys, but they also like pumped in ad creation that was negative and
polarizing. And they targeted
that part of it is scary. And it's like, Facebook's trying to do their best right now to make that stuff transparent and show where it's coming from, so you can't hide behind your screen.
All right.
But if you're just being taught, if you're just talking about political issues or social issues, now we have full transparency over that.
Right.
You have full transparency over every single ad they're running, but not the spend.
Mm.
You have now full transparency on the spend with political and social issues, and when they're selling real estate and other like various things, like they're getting more open to that stuff because of what I'm saying, of how much control,
because of the history behind of what has happened in the past as well.
In just 4 years. Think about how much Facebook had to figure out. This is what, like, I'm sitting there rewatching Zuckerberg
in front of Congress,
yeah, describing this to all these people that have never been on the back end of Facebook. I'm like, they have no idea what they're even like about to drop on this man. I think he got a $2 billion fine for allowing Cambridge Analytica to steal their data. And Facebook didn't know that they could. I didn't know that they could just wash people. Like, the thing that Cambridge Analytica was doing was if you clicked on something, they could go through your profile and get all of your friends' information. So you didn't even need to click on something, or I didn't need to click on something for them to take where I lived, what my preferences are, everything. Yeah. They could just wash everything off my profile just from you engaging with what they had. So that part of it, like, Facebook didn't have the security in line for the algorithms or whatever. I don't know. But think of how are they supposed to know how to stop that? I don't know. Like,
well, it's funny. Like, Jack Dorsey, the founder of Twitter, came on Joe Rogan's podcast by himself the first time, had this 3-hour conversation, and like, it was very, very cool. And a ton of people hated it because he was just so like, blatantly open about, like, hey, dude, like, we started this company back in 2010 or whatever it was, and, like, this thing has grown so far beyond what I've ever imagined that, like, I am day-to-day trying to figure out how to operate, and this is the stance and approach that I've taken. And everybody hated it because they're like, you created Twitter. You're, like, the all-controlling power of, like, what people can say on this platform, and how does that affect freedom of speech? It's like, yes, all very true things, all very things that we do need to figure out. But it's like, this guy was, like, a dude in college who just figured it out just like Zuckerberg did.
Right.
And, yeah, it's, like, the success story on one side. But on the other side, it's like, you've created something so powerful and so game-changing in this new space called the internet that, like, nobody knows how to even attack it. So you got to, like, be there for him a little bit in that sense. And I
that's where I'm at as well with you. I'm like, I don't know how I could have done it any differently, and I don't know how I could have predicted it.
Exactly.
And I hate that that's what happened, and I hate how accessible all this stuff is, but at the same time, this is what we're given, so how are you going to play within the confines of what you've been given?
Exactly. And what we're given right now is the coolest thing.
And we get to play in the game.
We literally get to play in the game, and we're a couple of average dudes just trying to figure this thing out. And
with a broken tire.
With a broken tire, dude.
Pop tire.
We got a spare Andy spare tire over here.
Yeah.
Is working these ads like nobody's business right now. And it is, honest to God, like the coolest thing, because we're not selling a thing. We're doing the long form. Like what we struggle with is the elevator pitch. We're creating a funnel system, or I don't know, a more bland way to put it, but basically something that is a long form or a quick version on social media of the elevator pitch. All we want to do is get more people on our platform so we can tell them what it's all about. All we want is for the listener to be better off. I don't really care if they buy it, to be honest. Right?
I don't know.
How cool is that though? Like that's what
we get to control.
We just get to.
It's just like how you were talking about a few episodes ago, how you get to pick the logo, you get to pick the font,
yep,
you get to pick the colors, you get to pick how you want to run Facebook ads, right. You get to pick everything.
Well, you guys know that's why, like, I found you in the first place, was like a Instagram ad. I just stumbled across it. The very first time I ever saw anything back pocket was a Instagram story ad, and then I remember seeing it once, I probably like, oh, what is this, engage with it, and then let it go. And this was before you guys got really into the funnels, but I probably saw it again another time and saw that you were Twin Cities based, and I was hooked from there. So
hell yeah, dude.
It's funny how that works.
Didn't know that. I kind of like went over my head maybe when you told me.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. We're working it, man.
All right. So I learned the great hack. Watch it on Netflix. Mm-hmm. It fired me up.
I love going into your brain, dude. I was just like, I love the times where I get to just listen to you run with it, man. That was good 10 minutes. Phenomenal.
What'd you learn, Decky?
I learned there's this thing called Google Timeline. Have you ever searched that before? So it's a hidden app. You just got to, it's not that hidden. You just Google it. Google Timeline. This has all of the data of the locations and distances you've traveled for as long as you've had an account with your location service. So, like, when you wake up every morning and drive to work, and you have Google Map notifications on, and it's like, it will take 16 minutes with light traffic to get to this location, or if, like, it's in your calendar of, like, you need to be here at this location.
Yeah, it always knows, because social works every morning, so it always tells me right when I'm leaving the house.
Right. And it's not, and, like, your alert is always, like, 5, 10, 15, or just time to leave. Of course I'm always going to click time to leave. I'm not going to want to get there too early or too late. Time to leave.
Yeah.
So there's this thing called Google Timeline that is the app base within Google that its job is to track your location and then use that data to then tell the other notification apps, such as Google Maps and all these other things, of what you should do. So Google Timeline communicates with Google Calendar, which communicates with Google Maps, which communicates with Gmail, which communicates with your profile. And then that's just it, man.
That's so crazy.
Yeah, sorry to beat like the algorithm dead horse, but I was just like blown away that was a thing.
I'm going to Google it. That's a cool way it can track their distance.
Apple has the same thing. It, like, within your settings, you can, I don't know how to get to it, but it's in your settings app on your phone, where it will basically have all the locations that you visited within the past, let's say, 2 years or whatever. And it'll have basically like heat maps around, like, what are the most prolific. That's why like I use Apple Maps. Like that's sometimes that's what Apple Maps knows where your house is. It knows where your work is. And I'll look and I'm like, oh, that's where my cabin is. And that is like another hot location, or like, yeah, oh, that's where I worked last summer. And it just has all these data points on you that it's just constantly collecting, which is it's just so crazy when you actually look at it. Like you're saying you looked at it. It's like
gigabytes, dude. It's insane. Gigabytes of literally just like locations.
And it's for everyone.
And time. And that's everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, I was thinking about this too, like recently. So I use this app, I forgot what it's called, for an alarm clock, and it basically it's a sleep tracker app. So it like measures your sleep patterns and all this sort of stuff. And the practical part of it, it's supposed to, you set like a 10-minute window of when you want to wake up. So it's supposed to wake you up at the most optimal time when you're like you're coming out of a deep sleep state or something like that.
How does it know that, just from time or something? Or?
It uses the microphone. So what you do is like you set it up and you put it next to you, and it uses
your breath.
Yeah, so like it tracks sounds and stuff. You can also apparently put it under your mattress if you want, and it'll the haptic sensors will track movement and stuff like that.
So,
but I use the microphone setting, and you basically put it there, and it runs all night like on a low setting, and you can look at, like, I can show you after, and you'll just see the ebbs and flows of like when you're sleeping.
Yeah, the REM cycle.
Yeah, the REM cycle. You can buy you can upgrade the version, and you can hear it'll. Like sound clip the different times you were snoring, if you're snoring or something like that.
Whoa.
Different stuff like that. And then it ties in with like your activity. So you'll have it log of like, oh, you slept this much this night. This is how many steps you took that day. This is what your activity was like that day, all that sort of stuff. So like I have a sleep tracker app. I also use an app when I go to the gym that curates workouts for me and stuff like that. And I was just thinking there's just so much data on every app that I use, purposely, I'm using those apps purposely so that they can curate a specific experience for me, that I'm just giving it all away. Not to mention the apps that are doing it all in the background.
Mm-hmm.
I just thought, I just took a second. I'm like, wow, that's insane that I'm letting that happen. And then I'm like, yeah, it makes my life more convenient. And
sure.
I just kept walking.
Carry on.
Yeah. Carry on.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
And people are worried about not getting, having jobs in the future, worried about not having filling up, or a gas station clerk and all these service jobs. There will be thousands of service jobs in managing data. Think about how much humanized parts you need to have behind the management of this data.
Yeah.
Cybersecurity is an easy example for sure. But man, that is just going to be, the more we talk about it, the more.
Sounds like a nerd job.
Sure, dude. All this.
Well, I'm just picturing all the movies of you got your cybersecurity.
Everyone's
got
to be nerds.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, maybe that'll.
I'm a nerd. I'm sitting on my desktop all day looking at.
Dude, we're all nerds. If you're not, think about this. If you're not spending 3 hours on your phone and 4 hours on your laptop looking at something, then good for you. But everybody else, you're a nerd, dude.
If you're not a nerd, you're a nerd.
Ooh,
for not being a nerd.
Yeah.
Mm.
I wonder if nerding will be a lost term because everybody's just got to a certain nerd point. Everybody plays video games, everybody's on their laptop, everybody's on their phone.
It'll probably just lose meaning. It'll probably just be I'll call you a nerd for just being weird. It'll be the same thing as you're stupid. Yeah. You're a nerd.
Right.
It won't have the connotation of classes and video games.
Yeah.
All right, Ty, what'd you learn, buddy?
Man, I learned that I'm a little skeptical about having kids now.
Ooh.
Oh.
So, two, right. Two to three. Go. Two to three? Skeptical?
Yeah, 2 to 3. That's still in the plans. But anyway, okay. I started
Ty, build some context for the new listeners on this Marshawn Lynch podcast.
Oh, so for those of you who haven't listened, I would go back and listen to back end show, probably number 22, and listen to just a thrilling conversation that the three of us have about how many kids that we want. We received some good market feedback that it was a good, entertaining episode. And I think we really hit home a lot of points that people are thinking about having kids. And I think we expertly walked through that thought process of what it's like when you're thinking about having kids. So go back and listen to that. The context here now is I've been watching the show Euphoria on HBO. Don't know if you've heard of it.
Have not.
Zendaya.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Have heard it. Yes.
Okay.
Quick question, dude. How many things you watching nowadays?
Dude, I'm all over
the place. My goodness.
I just finished a couple shows, so I needed to re-up. Also, it's Hard Knock season coming up, so I needed to clear my palate for that. Anyway.
That's right.
So I'm watching the show Euphoria. The premise of the show is it follows this girl named Rue. She's a drug addict, but she's also in high school. So it follows her throughout all of high school. Basically, or I'm only in season one, and it's followed her through her junior year of high school. But the shit these kids are doing for being juniors in high school is insane and just terrifies me to have kids. like I was saying, the main character, Rue, is like a drug addict, like a hardcore, like narcotics drug addict, like
in high school.
Like she's going in the show that she's going to be a junior. And then there's all these kids that are like just like having like sex and like doing blow and like as like 15-year-olds. And I'm like, first of all, that's not at all what my high school experience was like at all. I just watched this. I'm like, was I lame or normal? Because these kids are like throwing like Party X style ragers and or Project X style ragers. And like I said, doing lines in the bathroom and like, you know, like
heads will roll, basically play that song.
Ridiculous stuff. And I'm like, this is insane. And like, obviously their parents are all pretty much oblivious to all that's happening. It's like, mom, I'm going to go hang out at Lexi's house. And like, okay, see you tomorrow, honey. And it's like, then they go and just like get gang banged in the bathroom. And it's like just insane stuff. And it makes me fearful to have kids, especially girls, but terrified to have kids. And I just sit there like, man, I hope I don't fuck up as a parent. Because this show just makes me like, it looks impossible to be a parent.
Yeah.
Like, impossible.
It's got to be impossible to be a parent, right?
I don't know how to get my stuff done. I don't know. I don't know
your
how to
get stuff
a
done?
Anything. Yeah, stuff. Like, get to the grocery store.
Like, for yourself.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I just cleaned the shower the other day, and I was, like, confident leaving that bathroom that I'm only living to, like, 28. You know, I inhaled so much Clorox. It was just like, all right, well.
Yeah.
Guess I'm not gonna have kids because you know I'm not having kids in my 20s.
Well, that's why it's hard for me to commit to a November 2020 podcast. I'm like, I don't know if I'll be here.
We don't know if we'll be here.
We don't. No, nobody knows.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah, with Decky driving on no oil, you never know what's gonna happen.
You guys never know. Explodes. Can we just all say, dude, like, I love you guys, just in case. I don't know if this Clorox shit went like way to my frontal cortex and I'm gonna be out the next day, but I love you guys, and I hope to God, like, if I pass away because of this shit, this fucking video right here better be the first thing you post on Instagram when I'm dead. It'll be like, RIP Deck, this kid was the fucking man, like, I miss him, but he wanted me to post this, and if you don't, I'm gonna freaking come back to life and have to give you shit about it, because how else am I supposed to hold you accountable?
Content grab.
I'm gonna need you to write the copy for me.
Dude, yeah. Andrew's fucking copy will be like, what does he say?
Like, he's just like,
I don't get it.
Yeah, it's just like, putting him in a circle or something.
People plan their funerals. Deck just writes the copy for his death post.
If I got to do it, I'll do it. I'll write the copy for my death post. I'll give you a list of hashtags. Most of them will be like, Decky 2020, Decky RIP, Decky Gravedigger, Decky Resurrection. You know, all the ones. Decky G's, you got to go back on the old ones too. But when I die, I just want you guys to make sure you play this video. Or maybe just share it beforehand so we cover our tracks. All right, cool.
Deal.
Yeah, sweet. So that's it. Okay, perfect. Dang it, dude. I just remember what my actual what I learned was, but it works perfectly for the feel-good story. The feel-good story are all the blonde women who have been on this podcast. And now that we have been, now the curtain has been unveiled behind the back pocket business plan. Yes, we do have a campaign idea that's now coming to fruition of blonde women who come on the show. They have done astronomically better on this show with the things that they say and just obviously looking very attractive. And it's amazing, dude. Good for them, honestly, because they're the ones getting all the press and like that's all like the people are tuning in because of them. And we're just in the background clapping our hands like this is awesome. So obviously anybody can come on this podcast, but like blonde women are crushing it when you do come on, so just know that.
Yeah, let's remember the overarching theme of each of those. Like, we put them very blunt and direct, like, do what you love, flipping to make money, back end show,
we're funny,
blonde girls.
Yeah,
every single one of those has the, like, we just put that to remind ourselves what they actually mean.
Yeah,
but they have a deeper meaning, so like, let's not such just get lost in the sauce here of like what, like,
blonde women is such a, is
we
such
put
a
back
clickbait
to back week, and everyone's like, oh, that's what
flipping
out. No, not flipping out, but everyone's figuring it out, like that's what that's yeah, what their model is.
We made it very obvious.
Not obvious, but that's just, but it's not the first time we've done it. We had Karen Housley on, and then we had Alex Korsel
something like that, yeah.
Alexis Walsko and Mary Lavore. We had something combinations of that before, and it's not the first time it's happened.
No.
But the idea of like finding people out there that are doing awesome stuff, that already have this sweet following on Instagram, because that's what it really correlates to.
Yeah.
Is these women that are beautiful have a lot of following naturally on social media, and that's where we put all of our time and effort. So let's combine our time and effort with the people that are doing well on these platforms. So I'm going to, I'm going to go with the long-winded answer so we don't get ourselves caught in some weird sticky situation.
Exactly. And that's why you definitely had to say all of that, because
you put it in a way that made us sound pretty, grotesque. I don't know if that's the right word.
I wasn't trying to.
I know.
I never am trying to do anything, to be honest. I'm not trying to ever put us in a bad situation. I literally made them the feel-good story because they're all kick-ass women. Like, Alex Korsel, she could be a feel-good story on her own. She just left for Denver today.
Carly Zucker, celebrating her anniversary on the day we released the podcast. What a coincidence.
What a coincidence. Who else? Karen Housley. She just retired as a senator, and now she's following Phil's dream to go coach in the NHL. Forget where, but she's living her best life. Mary Lavoie's in Austin, Texas.
Moved. And Clara, her mom, DM'd us saying, love the podcast. She's doing good.
Clara is doing great because her mom DM'd us for sure. And that's it. That's a wrap.
Was that the most recent one?
Yes.
Yeah.
I liked her episode.
She iced us on the podcast. Those like groundbreaking things. Now, I can't imagine what people are going to do now, you know?
Yeah.
Will this become a trend? Do you like that post?
Yeah, because more people are going to do crazy shit now.
I want I want that.
We need that.
Free booze.
Anything. Bring in a snake and release it in the room.
Dude. Oh, my God.
Dude, think about how the boys are going to be up here, dude.
Yeah, I would.
Just not rodents.
Yeah, I'd leave. I'd leave the podcast studio, I think. I'd go run right through our mount dog.
All right, we're never going to get in trouble for anything we say on here because it's the back pocket.
Nobody listens.
Nobody listens. We're fine.
And that is the crux of everything, dude. Yeah. No one listens to this shit.
Why do we think we're going to get in trouble?
That's why we're safe. That's why we'll always be safe. It's because one's listening.
No one cares. No one cares enough, too. I always think the worst of these things, and it's just like, no one cares.
Yeah.
Andrew? Hey, Andrew? Air to Andrew. Relax.
Relax. You're doing the right thing. You're doing what you love, man.
What's the thing we've been saying for the last week? Pointless.
Pointless. That's what it comes down to.
Chris D'Elia, I'm going to buy your $100 ticket because I want to see you live.
God, I know, right? Well, hey, good podcast. What do we got next week, dude? What's our next week? What do we got? Off the top of your head, Ty, what's our next week? Do you know? You get the calendar invites.
Yeah, so we've got a podcast on Monday. And that's going to come out pretty early in the morning, I've come to find out. Like, if you're
5 a.m.
if you're up early, you get content. Then there's another one on Tuesday. It's going to be Marketing Intern Spotlight. That one's going to be great. I know that already. And then we're going to come back Thursday with a killer back end show.
With Jordan Roberts.
Jordan Roberts.
No, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
Nicolotti.
Brooklyn Roberts.
And then back end show number 25.
Number 25.
So who's the Monday show?
Brodsky's. No, wait, no. It's Steve.
Isn't it Josh?
No, Josh is this upcoming Monday.
Okay.
Who's Steve? Oh, Steve that we just recorded
Steve.
With.
Steve. Yeah, we just recorded on the same day with this dude. Yeah, Steve.
When did Josh come out?
Yeah, this Monday.
Yeah, sorry, we're spilling all kinds of beans. Josh Scheffner was this week, two or three days ago, this Monday.
Oh, he's out.
The upcoming Monday.
Killer episode.
Yeah, that one's out already. Shout out Josh. And then Steve, what's his last name again? Ivy Longboard Steve. The guy is incredible.
Weigel.
That was just such a cool story. This man lives his life as an adventure. Phenomenal for podcasting and storytelling. He could tell some insane stories. And then we do have Brooklyn.
Yeah, because last week was Cavi.
Yes. So we have Brooklyn Nicolotti, who started her own like cookbook and her passion for nutrition.
And he just mispronounced the last name, and I just want to go on record here. Mm-hmm. He was the biggest asshole right when we started that podcast for me mispronouncing it.
Times are rising.
His mic was falling off its stilt, and he just goes, "Get it right, dude. It's Nicolotti." That's like one of the first things you hear out of the podcast. And I'm just like, Jesus, Deck, why couldn't you have been a little nicer about that? Sorry, Brooke.
Wow. Sorry, Brooke.
Sorry, bro.
Oh, man, I'm an asshole.
Hey, no one's listening, so yeah. I can say whatever on this show.
Yeah, if you made it this far, tweet me or follow me on Instagram.
Yo, what's your handles, dude?
At Tyler M. Webb, everywhere. Except on Instagram, I had to put periods in between, though.
Tyler.m.web.
God, you're such a good kid, Ty. All right, guys, let's get out of here.
All right, take care, everyone. Oh, shit. Love you guys.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Love you guys. Take care.
Take care.
Take care.
just a minute.